Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here in the square circle. Adam's rearranged his apartment.
Yeah, I built it like a wrestling wing. That's when you wrestle babies.
Yeah.
I thought I tore a wrestling wing.
Yeah.
The WWE.
But Vince McMahon is still like 80 in it, and he's still punching them, swinging his arms
around.
Well,
he's wearing a diaper.
Yeah. I'm the Stone instead of the Rock.
Yep.
Smaller version of a rock.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pebble Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Pebble Tepid.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Stone is hit. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
1H.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
When he's a teenager, there's two, and then you got to be a man before you get your third.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels, baby.
Junior. Shawn Michaels, Junior.
What's your name if you were going to be a wrestler?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
No, I mean you're real. You already got your
name. My name's
Adam Knox.
Yeah.
Yep.
Big fuck Adam Knox.
Mm-hmm. Big fuck.
Here comes Big Fuck.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'd be scared of a wrestler called Big Fuck.
Can you smell what the big is fucking? I don't know shit about wrestling. I'm surprised I pulled Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Squared circle is like, that's a term that they...
Well, that's a boxing thing. I know that from the ring.
Ah, right. That's all of them?
I
understand.
Yeah.
MMA?
Yeah.
That's a hexagon.
Octagon.
It's like a hexagon.
Yeah.
Just a couple more sides, you know? I don't see sides. All shapes are the same.
I can see all sides.
I see all shapes based upon merit.
What's your view on adult men that are into fighting? I don't mean watching it. I mean like
getting
doing
into
Brazilian
fights.
Jiu-jitsu and stuff like that.
Oh, doing martial arts, like training.
Yes.
As martial arts, I did them when I was a teenager.
Yep.
And
meant to do it.
I would do them again now. Honestly, it's a good way to stay fit.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing and stuff like that.
True.
And I get the meditative, discipline-y sides to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm for it. I'm not for actually fighting.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a bold stance there.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm more for actual fighting than I am for adult men getting into jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't see where that
rubs me the wrong way.
As someone who has regularly done F45, I would say that you are the more disappointing specimen of a man.
Yeah, but that's when you're saying it's a good way to stay fit. It's like, there's other...
Why would you do the other ways? I don't know. I get that.
Yeah. I also, when I've done I've done boxing purely for athletic
fitness,
exercise, health reasons.
Yeah.
And you get strong and you feel great.
Yeah.
I think it's good to want to be safe if someone tries to fight you as well.
Mm.
I think that's a useful skill to have.
Yeah. That's why you got the katana on the wall, right?
Yeah. Well, the blade is more of a lifestyle than a actual...
You're looking at the wall.
Yeah. Practical thing. Where my blade is.
Yes, of course. I've got a copy of Blade on my wall at home.
Yeah.
just one.
While you were out there... drinking and fucking. I was at home studying the Blade 2 DVD extras.
Yep.
And now I'll fuck you up.
I think fights should be kept exclusively in the courtroom.
All right.
Well, where they belong. Where they belong.
I think a strong adult man is going to beat the shit out of you because of your disdain for people being allowed to do what they want, motherfucker.
Yeah. No, I think some...
This is America.
No, some nerd who goes to a fucking teacher every week and teaches him how to do techniques
dumb.
And thinks he's going to be able to fucking kill someone in a fight. Yuck. Yuck.
I don't know.
I think you're afraid of them or something.
Yeah, I think you are.
I don't know what's going on.
Tai Chi, karate.
Some nerd who goes to some fucking sandwich shop and gets someone to teach them how to make sandwiches and then they get paid money for making sandwiches? You fucking nerd. Mm. Get out of the Subway, you
sandwich
artist. Yeah,
I think you're conflating a few different things there.
I think that sounds exactly the same. Some nerd who drives their car down to a fucking tire shop and replaces all their tires with four new tires.
Okay.
Who are you trying to impress?
All right, I'm coming around. I'm gonna study kung fu and I'm gonna fucking kick your ass and make fun of me over this. but yes, there's currently a courtroom battle waging as we speak. Maybe as we speak, probably not with the time difference. Apple versus Epic court dispute, legal dispute.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been great if we had if Corona wasn't going on and we could have gotten ourselves over there and just covered the video game trial of the century.
Yeah.
If we just based ourselves in the courtroom for months on end.
Running out to the payphones afterwards to try and call back home to be like, you'll never guess what OJ said or that OJ's here. I haven't really been following it at all. They kicked it off last August. Something like that. That's when all the shit happened of Apple taking Fortnite and all the Epic games off of their shop over
V-Bucks.
It was basically over V-Bucks. So Apple doesn't let you run your own independent store within their Apple store because then they don't get a cut of it.
Exactly, yeah.
You're allowed to do purchases, obviously, but it all has to go through the Apple servers and Apple gets their slice for daddy.
Yes.
But
Apple.
I mean, Epic.
Said, what if that's the end of this? It's like, yeah, let's just merge into one company.
Yeah.
Let's stop Apple. All the fighting.
Yeah. Let's move our headquarters to New Zealand and call ourselves Apple. Or South Africa.
Yeah, probably more likely.
Yes.
I don't even think that's a real accent that Apple would be what people said. Apple. Anyway.
Apple.
Epic. And Epic and Apple have been feuding for a little bit, but it's
they've
taken
been fighting,
until
yeah.
this week, I suppose, for the actual court proceedings to begin.
Yes. Yep. And the only reason that we really know about that is because of the publicly internet. Accessible thing called the internet and the documents that are being released, like freedom of information, stuff that's submitted as evidence, I guess.
Because this court drama
is
happening in the United States court system. Even though both of those companies probably say they're based in Ireland.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
I don't
Apple,
know if they do. I
Apple's
guess Apple.
Cupertino, right? Yeah, We've seen that in all the boxes.
That's true. Mm.
Epic. I don't know.
Yeah. Probably America as well, I guess, if it's. If this is happening. And so Nintendo. I don't. Yeah. Explain this to me because I've seen little bits and pieces of news of like Nintendo has had to testify.
Yeah.
And Microsoft has had to testify. Is that just because they run similar stores? And they're trying to get an idea of if Apple's way of doing things is the industry standard.
I guess Epic has stuff on their stores as well. Yeah.
The same exact game and the same exact transactions.
That's true. Because there was a thing where one of the documents revealed that I think Epic wanted a Samus skin in Fortnite at some point, which I guess Nintendo weren't into or
the kids love Metroid. You never hear teens shutting up with their Metroid TikToks.
The last one was released so long ago that a kid could be born and grown to the age that they play video games and not know what
never
their
experience.
Parents could have fucked wearing the Zero Samus suit. Fucked cosplay style and have a kid who's old enough to play Fortnite now.
Yeah.
Right.
That's so insane.
Yes.
I mean, Nintendo famously like very protective of their IPs and won't just sort of give these licenses out to anyone and they'll copyright strike like fan-made videos and stuff. But I got to say, in this instance, putting the kibosh on a dabbing Samus in Fortnite, I can't blame them.
Broken clocks right twice a day, right? At some point you're gonna get the criminals who deserve to be taken down, which is Epic trying to make Samus fucking do the Carlton.
I guess Samus is in Smash. That's where young people would know Samus,
right.
I guess.
True, yes.
Yeah.
And a good character, I believe.
Yeah.
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 All the kids love Roy. All these moth.
Yep.
Vines.
Yes.
Yep.
All these Zoomers that are obsessed with math.
Yeah. They love...
They probably are in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
math will be huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, no Samus. And something else that they will not allow to be in anything that they do, Nintendo I'm talking about, is the crime gang, the Yakuza.
Yeah. So a lot of these documents have come out. Most of them apparently very, very heavily redacted. Mm. But yeah, one thing that has leaked out is that Nintendo has a stipulation in all contracts of any publisher or developer or distributor that they're working with that you cannot have any ties in any way whatsoever to any organized crime, because I guess it is so it's so common in Japan that they have this, so
somewhat common,
so
yeah.
many fingers in a lot of different pies that it must be like you yeah. explicitly have to go. Mm. You can't just assume that wouldn't be the case. It's like, because I think that yeah. it's more in the Western world, people getting involved in that kind of stuff. It's like they've gone seeking it out for probably nefarious purposes, but Japan, it seems to be a lot more kind of like all-encompassing.
Or you just need to have the oversight if you haven't done the due diligence.
Or it's
Nintendo
just
won.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just in that industry. The same way that, like, my understanding is the mob is just in construction in New York, and when you are budgeting to construct something in New York, you make sure that you've got your little bit on the top,
right?
Because they won't let you bring the concrete through otherwise.
Sure, yeah.
That is my understanding from having watched one documentary.
Right, and in Victoria,
Blackfish,
you pay. You pay that money to the Liberal Party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
yeah.
So, yeah, it seems as though that would be my guess of why it is. Right. That it's within the industry enough that they... whatever.
I don't know if they expect everyone to... I don't know if they expect lots of people to be dealing with the Yakuza, but maybe they just are like, you have to show us that you aren't.
Yeah.
And they just assume probably for their image, if it...
They
if
are a family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If something gets out that somewhere like... four steps down the chain has some kind of vague involvement, it's going to end up looking bad for them. So they just really need to cover their bases.
And especially with like drug crime and stuff like that, Japan takes that really seriously. Yeah, when you see like an actor get caught with a tiny bit of cocaine and they lose all of their work and they're blacklisted pretty much, which is, you know, crazy. Yeah. I couldn't name you an actor that doesn't do cocaine in the Western world.
Yeah.
But Judi Dench loves the shit.
Yeah, she's mad for it. How do you think she's still going?
Yeah, exactly. She's dead legally.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was that. There was like some stuff about how much Epic had paid to get all of those free games from a certain period. Like the free games on the Epic Store. Mm-hmm. They paid about 11 point something million over the course of 6 or 7 months.
Right.
To encourage those companies to allow them to distribute their game for free.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems fine.
Right.
$1.5 million, let's say, on average per game to have it free for a week.
Right. Yeah.
How much would you expect to make from the games that they've been putting on there in a week? You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be 1.5. There's probably an article where people have done the maths on this on a better website than this podcast.com website. But
this podcast.com.
Yeah. But that was kind of interesting stuff about the cuts that Microsoft take from the store, and that they've lowered theirs recently to 12%. A lot of, you know,
nitty-gritty
business stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff
yeah.
that Matthew McConaughey would have to jack off twice a day to get out of his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of weird and like it seems crazy for a company like Nintendo to redact so much of their documents, but by them being pulled into this other dispute that's sort of nothing to do with them, that it then means that, you know, these things that if they wanted them to be public knowledge, they would be public knowledge.
A couple must
be sitting there going, oh, fucking hell, have we really got to do all this?
Yeah, especially when there's some stuff about kind of release dates and things like that that have come out where like Stalker 2 is an Xbox exclusive for 3 months, they found, because of these documents. When that comes out, which is such a weird amount of time. Stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting. There's probably way more that they've had in the court that people are yet to dig through. So if you're interested in this stuff, fucking look it up.
Yeah.
That's what I reckon.
Yeah.
Have a Google.
It's not necessarily right.
Siri started talking. Jesus. Oh, it's because I said look it up, I guess. Yeah.
You said Google. And
It's been a while since something's been randomly activated in Adam's apartment that's scared all three of us.
Feels like having a bunch of robot Manchurian candidates in your house where you say the wrong string of words and they're like, all right, I'm the fucking Winter Soldier now. Suck my dick.
Yeah,
that's what he did, right? He had a robot dick.
Yeah.
He'd come around and be like,
yeah, you would be, I think, out of the three of us, if there was like a technology uprising, I think you would be in the most trouble.
Or I'd be in the least trouble.
Swinging around and bashing you on the head.
But I've been such a supporter and an ally to the robots for so long that they would let me be.
No, you're they've a slave master. You're a slave master. They're not viewing it that way. Yeah.
And they've had to see what you've done in this apartment.
No, but they don't know what it is. They're robots.
This has a big cotton field, essentially. And yeah. you're just on yeah. your porch drinking lemonade that. With yeah. a big hat on.
Yeah. Nah,
this is the plot of The Matrix, Adam. What yeah. do you think?
You can't use humans as batteries. There's right. just not enough power coming out of the human body. So I'm safe. Now, if they used us all for processors, we're fucked.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But yeah, kind of interesting, all this stuff coming out there, and hope maybe there'll be something real juicy that has to yeah. pop up in court at some point.
Yeah.
But surely you have a right of your company to be like, look, I don't want to fucking tell you that. This affects our business. You must yeah. have some right of going, no, you surely. Can't see this.
Do you think they've got a sketch artist in that courtroom? Just drawing these
drawing
developers.
Mario and Crash yeah. Bandicoot and shit.
He's really... He took the job because he doesn't understand. He can't separate fiction from reality. Yeah. And he genuinely thought that Mega Man was going to be up there on the stand.
What about they hire a court sketch artist off of DeviantArt
yep.
and they're drawing yes. Rule 34 style drawings of all of the yeah. trials there.
A lot of guys with glasses and then giant dicks fucking animals.
Yeah.
Dixie OJ Kong trying to put his dick in the glove and it can't yeah. get in there.
Yeah.
Whenever I think courtroom, I think OJ. I mean, I think a lot of people
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah. Dixie Kong with OJ Simpson. Dixie's got huge yeah. breasts. But yeah, look, maybe there'll be more. We don't want to get too into the weeds of the actual trial itself.
I haven't really been paying attention to it that much because I'm yeah. kind of, you know, I'm interested to see what happens with it. But, you know, following a trial day by day is not.
And at the end of the day, it's like level. It's two super rich companies having a squabble. Yeah. Like, you know.
Who right. owes who the $10 billion they can afford?
Right, exactly.
You owe it to me.
Mm.
All of us.
What's the first thing you do?
Build roads and hospitals.
Yep.
Mm.
Where would you build a road? There's heaps of them.
Roads?
Yeah.
Not one to the hospital I just built.
Okay. Where'd you build the hospital, though?
Middle of nowhere.
Why didn't you build it next to a road?
There's plenty of hospitals already. So I needed to build it somewhere where there wasn't a hospital.
You could build a Rainbow Road.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah? Mm.
That's a Nintendo thing.
Yes. Yeah, nice. Yes. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Nintendo.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Games are coming out for a few weeks here.
So many games. So many games that it almost makes talking about a court case silly.
If you were to talk about it for around 15 minutes, you'd be wasting everyone's time.
No, that's okay. That's about the limit, I reckon.
Is this an uncharacteristically... front-loaded year?
I feel like that happens often.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been on a good streak of stuff to talk about lately.
Every year you get a couple big Januaries, mm-hmm. January ones. You get a couple around March, April as well.
Yeah, and then it slows down for E3 and then picks up again.
Yeah.
Right?
You wait until after this, it's usually until like September-ish until you're getting... I feel like there's always like one or two big things when comedy festivals on here normally. There's always something where it's
Final Fantasy VII would have been around this time last year.
Far Cry 5 came out that time. And then like Resident Evil 7 came out in January a few years ago.
Yep.
Resident Evil 8's next week. Mm-hmm. But this week, there's been three games that I have played.
Yeah.
Pokemon Snap, Returnal, and Nier Replicant version 1.22, whatever stupid name. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a remaster or remake of the one that comes before Nier Automata.
So Nier was the first one in like 2010. And we got... So Nier Replicant is what the Japanese version of that game ended up being called. Because the Western version of the game was called Nier Gestalt. The only difference between the two being... that the main character in the Japanese version was a young brother of a girl who was the same character in both. And in the West, they remade that character into being the dad of the girl.
Mm, right.
Because they didn't think that the young brother worked for what Western audiences wanted. So they made him into a gruff dad.
They want to play Solid Snake, Nathan Drake.
Exactly. And so they made him into, you know, I'm the same character, but I'm a dad. And oh, man, the Last of Us. Blah.
Right.
And they were right, probably, at the time. It was 2010.
Gears of War.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You needed the gruffer the better back
Absolutely.
Then. Absolutely. Now, we can take a little boy.
Your
little boy's got something to say? I'll listen. What you got, little boy? What's that? What's that you got there?
I got a lollipop here.
Oh, nice. Can I have some? Because I'll just take it, apparently. It's a remake of the original Nier.
Mm-hmm.
The original Japanese Nier.
The original Japanese Nier. which Nier Automata is like a sequel to, but also pretty distantly distant from
kind
in
of
terms
unrelated.
Of story.
Yeah.
But a bunch right. of characters who show up in both, but like not necessarily as the same characters. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
But so yeah, this is, I'm not that far into it, so I'll probably talk about it again in a few weeks. But early impressions are that you can tell that it is a remake of a 10-ish-year-old game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between two different places.
That's what I've heard. It's very grindy.
Right.
It's a little boring, honestly. But all of the stuff that was in the original, or in Nier Automata, the one that I originally played, that was great about that appears to be there. And I do remember with that game that it took quite a long time until I was like, fuck, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing the same stuff where you, instead of a robot shooting, you've got a book that shoots.
Okay.
You've got swords that you slash people with. You've got some more stronger powers that you can use a little bit of your magic stamina bar thing
Brazilian
for.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, like that. Mm. Like a strong thing.
Yeah, good thing that I like.
That in the West,
support,
they made a gruff adult do it and everyone was like, yeah, I like this version.
Right.
And in Japan, they had
a little boy doing it
and nobody respected him.
Yeah, a little boy that is probably like the right age that you should be for doing that.
Well, I could be any age.
It's kind
that's
of a fun
thing.
Fantasy to pretend to be able to kick someone's ass.
It's like saying jogging's for middle-aged women. It's like that's a crazy statement.
Right.
Anyone can jog.
It's just about a speed that you move at.
Right.
Horses jog. It's called a canter, but they do it.
To clarify, my issue with grown men doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is doing it and then treating it as if they now have like the mind of an assassin and that they could take anyone out. That is the issue that
I have
with
Danny
it.
Sort of Danny McBride foot fist way.
Yeah,
sort of
it
thing.
Feeding
yeah.
itself into an actual like machismo attitude that I don't like.
Doing anything
recreationally as a fitness thing I'm fine with. It's when that attitude seeps its way out into like
toxic masculinity.
I could kill you in the street now if I wanted to. That's my issue with it.
Having muscles is cool. Kissing your muscles, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the difference,
yeah.
right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So Nier Replicant is the having muscles version.
right.
Nier Gestalt was
I just had to clarify because I was just distracted because I could just see the deluge of social media fucking...
Yeah, it'd be me commenting on the things. Be like, you're still wrong about this. So the whole Nier Automata, I never played it.
Yeah.
Through to a second playthrough. So
right.
I've basically played like a quarter of the game.
Yeah.
But the setting of that is like post-apocalyptic people on the moon, people on Earth, robots fighting on behalf of humanity.
People are on the moon, there are robots on Earth, they're fighting the aliens that are also on Earth.
Oh, right, okay.
And the robots, the aliens have robots.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the same plot of, is the plot of the originals?
No, this is like post-apocalypse kind of too, because like some sort of force has made the world worse. These like... shadows or shades.
Political
or correctness.
They call
them. Yeah. Political correctness has gone absolutely mad and taken the form of these like weird sort of Twilight Princess looking monster things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we send down a teenage girl in a short skirt to teach them all a lesson.
One of them shows up.
Yeah.
I don't know. She might be early 20s, so it's fine. Okay. But like the.
If you don't ask.
Yeah.
We've got this barely legal robot.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's actually justifiable in the story because the short skirt is there to show you that there is grass on the field. That's why. We want people to know they can play ball. Yeah. Yoko Taro, who's like the original director of this, has been very blunt in him just saying like, I think hot girls are hot and that's why I put him in there, which is kind of lame.
He didn't do the Neon Genesis thing of like, it's actually a commentary and it's actually an analogy.
No,
okay.
He didn't lie, which is more respectable in some ways.
I've got to say, I do find that a bit more respectable.
Yeah, having to come up with a thing like Kojima and be like, it's actually because she breathes through her skin.
That's right.
100%.
That versus just going, nah, hubba hubba.
Yeah.
Like,
I deliberately put some titillation in here for the fellas.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, okay.
If a pig oinks, that's what it's meant to do.
Sure.
Yes,
if a pig
sure.
goes, actually, I'm a frog, ribbit, ribbit, you're like, fuck off, pig, you're a pig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that aside, it's a lot of fetch questy sort of stuff, but it's got the nice music. It looks pretty plain, a lot like Automata did. And the gameplay is fun, but the reasons that you are fighting things are often repetitive and the story is a slow burn.
Right.
So knowing that I liked Nier Automata is helping me progress further through this, but I could see this being quite a boring experience, as it has been at times for me, for a lot of people. So you've got to know that going into it, I reckon, because there's some intrigue with what happens in the story first. Like it starts off in like 2035 and it's July in the Northern Hemisphere, but it's all winter and frozen and you're trying to survive with this girl. And then you wake up with your sister, then you wake up like 2,000 years later and now it's like castles and shit.
Oh.
And you're the same characters, but you don't quite know why, and they don't seem to have any awareness of it. Okay. So it's like there's something going on, and I'm assuming that the story will be strange and interesting in the ways that Automata was.
Mm.
But at this point, it is a lot of, yeah, kind of grindy, repetitive combat for less interesting reasons than I'm sure they'll become later in the game.
Sounds like you're probably better off actually starting with Automata if you've never played either of them.
I know that Automata is a great game.
Yeah.
And I know that you don't need to have played Nier for Automata to make as much sense as you as it's going to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So there is stuff in this where like there are characters and things that show up in Automata and I'm like, oh. So it kind of gives some stuff away about this game if you have played Automata.
Yeah, right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You already know where a character has ended up or what their
kind of the direction that everything is going in a little bit. But it does the same thing of multiple endings and multiple playthroughs and that just sort of fucking with the format of being a video game. Mm. It's got some annoying stuff too where like there's a weird letterboxing that happens during all the cutscenes, but they're like half opaque letterboxes.
Oh, that's strange.
So it just looks, yeah, it looks shitty. Yeah. I don't know why that happens at all. And there's nobody to turn it off that I've been able to find.
Mm.
Have you looked in the options menus?
What's that? No, yeah, I have. it seems as though it's just stuck on there.
It's just a stylistic thing that is not good.
It doesn't look good at all. Mm. And, you know, but the music and the acting and all of that stuff is all there. Just the gameplay is a game that was called repetitive 11 years ago by people who played it then, and they have not remade those sort of aspects of it. They've just sort of updated the game to be PS4 level.
Right. Mm.
There's no PS5 patch or version or anything.
Right.
I think it runs slightly better. Same with the Series X. But
well, if you want something that's going to look good on your PS5, you're better off getting a PS5 exclusive.
But in there aren't any of them out. Demon's Souls is a remake of an old game, and there hasn't been an exclusive to the PS5 up until now. Are you telling me that there is a reason to own a PS5 now?
I don't know, bitch. You tell me.
Well,
why there hasn't been an exclusive in this PS5 in years.
Yeah, of course, new Pokemon Snap came out this week. That's what we're talking 4K, about.
4K, 60 frames a second.
Nah,
if you go to the shops I went to, there are no PS5 exclusive games available.
Yeah. So that's it. We're talking about Returnal.
Yes.
Returnal.
Return Eternal.
It's such a bad name.
Very
still.
Bad name.
I really hate it. More I've heard it, the more it's grown on me.
The opposite for me.
Yeah. Right.
I saw it come up as like a late title card at the start of the game and still went like, yeah.
This is my Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The older I get, the less I like this fucking name.
Yeah.
Right.
Returnal. I'm not a fan.
Not into it.
Yeah.
But so you weren't able to find a copy.
Yes.
And you're currently without internet, so couldn't download a copy.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Have you played this, Tommy?
No. By the time I could have quickly squeezed a bit of it in on Monday, but I thought there's enough coming out and I'll wait. Because I'm interested to hear from you because it looks great. It looks visually fantastic. It looks like the movement is really fun and fluid. I like the setting. I like everything about it other than the fact that it is a rogue light or like, I can never remember which
rogue-like
one's which.
Is
the fact that it's a roguelike is very off-putting to me. If this was a like third-person action-adventure, you know, story-driven A to B kind of thing, I'd be all in. But yeah, that's a genre that I kind of more associate with like an indie, like a pickup for, you know, a simplistic little 15-minute session. And
this kind of basically is, because this company isn't Housemark or Housemarquee or
Housemark, I think.
Housemark.
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 Yeah.
Their previous games have all been on a much smaller scale than this one. This is their first, like, sort of game at this scale and this apparent budget and these sort of production values.
It seems weird to me to spend... to buy a roguelike for $120, which is what this is at recommended retail price.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Games are really expensive at the moment.
Yep.
But I bought it.
Yep.
Did you buy it for like $108?
I bought it for $109.
Yeah, nice.
That's what it was available for where I bought it, a physical copy.
Yes.
Yeah, games cracking the hundo. It doesn't feel great.
It's happened before. Yeah. Project Gotham 3 and shit like that. Like the launched games for the 360, they were like $120 back then.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
That was 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
We got to wait for inflation and shit to level it all out.
Yeah. But so, speaking of levels, this is kind of a roguelike game where you are, it is a run-based thing. Mm. You are this kind of space woman. You don't really know what you're doing. You have crash-landed on a planet. And for some reason, when you die, you find out that you regenerate back at your spaceship and the world has shifted around.
Right.
There's a really intriguing kind of background story starting to pick up where you like, this is very early on, so I don't think this is a spoiler, but a very light spoiler if you're sensitive to it. You see like your childhood house in the distance, or, you know, a house from when you were younger, maybe not childhood. And you find a key for it somewhere and you go in and you're looking around in first person in your house. And you're like, what the fuck is this doing here? Mm. What's going on? You're coming across your old dead bodies and being like, what the fuck?
Oh.
You've left a bunch of recordings for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At varying levels of sanity, depending on, and you've got no memory of it at this point. But there's like a large energy reading and you're kind of trying to get to that.
Right.
In each sort of biome is what they are. So there's like a jungle and there's a desert and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you progress from, that's just randomly generated each rung?
Sort of.
Okay.
I don't know if it's what the level of randomness is yet. I've done a few different runs of it and it does. So, okay. It's a third person shooter.
Yep.
A very bullet helly kind of action-y game. There's enemies who are shooting lots of, you know, energy orbs at you and you're quickly dodging and you're sprinting around. You're going through and it is very much run based. So you get some items or abilities that will stick and that's sort of your progression.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything else, all the weapons you pick up, all of the items that you get that are consumable items, all of the keys and that sort of stuff, they disappear afterwards. So you're improving your weapons as you go on through these levels. And the idea being, I think there's six different kind of levels. Around the halfway point, you get a checkpoint so you can start runs from there.
Right.
But you have to get through all of it in the one go to be able to progress further.
Right.
You know, so you're
so you have to get through the entire level in one go and then that level's done.
Yeah.
And then you can start your new run from the second level
with all of that. No, you can't. Not from the second. So 1, 2, 3, you've got to go through them all. And it can be a really long time that it takes, especially if you're going off and it'll clearly mark on the map which doors are for like side stuff and which is for the main progression, which is really nice
because
if you're just trying to zip through this one because you know you can't be fucked with it, you can do that.
Right. Because what I've heard is sort of at odds with the roguelikeness of it is that those games traditionally you die and then you're like, I just one more. You know, I just want to have one more quick run. But these runs in this last for like 2 hours at a time and you can't save in the middle, which is, again, a bit of a turnoff for me.
It is a huge oversight, in my opinion. It is not something that I agree is anything to do with a developer's vision or whatever. It is purely just not respecting that you may exist in the middle of a life.
Yeah.
You know, like that you've got, you know, very few people have 2 hour blocks that they can dedicate to something and not be sure they're going to get called away. Yeah.
I thought I was going to have a shit run. I'm having a great one and all of a sudden it's time for my jiu-jitsu class. So I mean, put my PS4 into a 5 into rest mode, which mine started doing the thing that yours was doing.
Right.
It's shutting itself off.
It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. I've had to restart a few Yakuza dungeons lately.
Oh, brutal.
You can just leave it paused, I guess. But
it's like if you have a brownout in your apartment or if, you know, you might need like there's a million reasons why your power might go off
and that's,
or not
it's
again.
It's also not a very good energy conscious way of living in 2021 to just leave very powerful console on all day and night.
There is no, to my mind, real reason why there shouldn't be the ability to just go suspend it here, but properly save it in the game. And then I'll come back to this and then just delete that save. So it's not like I can fucking cheat.
Exploit it.
A million games do that already. And they have also said like on Twitter or something like, hey, we hear you. So they haven't said that they'll do a patch, but I assume that that is coming soon.
Right.
And luckily, no one will play this game for another year until PS5s are available. So it's fine. But it is
very... We hear all six of you that have the means to play this game.
Even though that is a bit of an annoyance, I am really enjoying this game. it plays super well. Like the shooting and the movement and all of the exploring even and the roguelike-y bits of it, I'm really loving.
Most games, like you know, you can see them in action in footage, but it's not until you're actually controlling it that you get a sense of the fun. But this is one of those ones where you can tell just immediately from watching footage of it. It's like, that looks fun as hell to move around in this game.
So you've got one weapon at any time and you can swap them out. And there's like pistols and assault rifles and shotguns and whatever. There's different types. And they'll increase in how powerful they are during your run. And you can get little power-ups that'll make the next gun you find better and things like that.
One weapon, how many legends and how many champions?
Not a lot of champions and only the one legend, which is you. But yeah, so your gun, you hold down the trigger in halfway kind of. There's like a sticking point because it's got the PS5
this
triggers.
This is the first real thing to use DualSense.
Kind of, other than like Astrobot, I guess.
Yeah.
That bit is kind of annoying because if you pull it all the way in, it does your like alt fire. It charges that up.
Oh.
And then you pull the trigger, and when stuff's heated and going on, you don't necessarily always have the motor instinct to only lightly pull on the aim
button.
Yeah.
There's a lot of auto aim and stuff when you're shooting from the hip because it's sort of like it's a lot about movement and dodging and dashing and jumping and all that sort of stuff. Like these enemies are shooting very arcadey kind of balls and like rings of danger that will come out. You know what I mean? Like rings of red fucking shit that hurts you.
Like when you're playing the like 2D like Galaga sort of thing, it's like a lot of,
it's all that sort of shit.
It's obstacles. It's not bullets necessarily. It's floating obstacles.
Right. It's don't be in this place when this gets to you.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying the combat heaps. It's really, really satisfying and fast and fun and simple, but challenging as well.
Right.
It's really great. And then the exploration stuff is pretty enjoyable. Like the in-world justification of why you are doing these runs works for me. The fact that the world itself, like the planet is mysterious and shifting and you don't know quite what's going on. And you're finding these little bits of story and kind of some old like bits of writing and glyphs that you slowly translate and get little words from. And like it's a really engaging way of building this mystery and slowly pulling it apart. And like, at this point, where I've still only played it for, you know, a low double-digit number of hours, maybe, it is still it has not become tiresome to see the same places again.
Yeah,
you know, they're different enough every time. The combat is engaging enough all the time. There's enough difference in the exploration stuff because, like, as you go on, you get power-ups that let you move a bit quicker through the world, let you go to different little obstacles that showed up on the first run through and you couldn't get to whatever was behind, you know, but, and it looks different the next time. And they're not, like, the map can be a little confusing with the three-dimensional. It's kind of like one of those hologrammy maps that you can rotate. So I guess the sort of randomly generated nature of it, or however they're doing it, procedurally generated, whatever is the correct term, can lead to it being a bit funky sometimes. Mm-hmm. It can be a little bit of a weird room that you get to from time to time, but that's going to happen with this type of thing.
Especially, early on before they've patched it in and just there's no way of testing enough to be aware of all these issues.
But at this point for me, like the balance between how much you're building up your power during an individual run versus how satisfying it is to get the more permanent upgrades and things like that is pretty spot on. I'm getting to a bit where I'm like, fuck, I'm pretty deep in here before I die each time. So I don't feel like I'm frustrated from like, oh, I can't get further than this bit. Like you're pushing every time.
Yeah. Okay.
The bosses can be pretty, you know, they try and make them full on and quite long and everything. And there's a good chance that if you've not sort of prepared yourself well and gone and explored that you'll butt your head up against the boss a few times before you're able to do it, which can maybe be frustrating. But, The way the story's unfolding, the way it looks is fucking amazing. It looks great. It really does look like it belongs on a next-gen console type of thing.
Yeah,
it absolutely is there. And you can tell that like they've obviously worked hard on it and stuff, but from how their older games looked at the time that they came out, we'll see better than this. So, like the new Ratchet and Clank trailers and stuff look great.
Yeah. There was a Sony State of Play thing end of last week,
something
I think,
like
for that.
Yeah.
Where they showed like 15 minutes of it, and man, I'm so excited for that game. I think that's my most anticipated game of this year.
Yeah, it
and
looks
it's just looking better and better. Like it looks beautiful. The taking and making it a true next gen thing where,
yeah.
And this was in the first trailer for it too, where they're taking advantage of the hardware and having the no loading times and going like, well, what's a practical thing that we can put in the game that's going to really, you know, make it come to life? Well, yeah, going between these different dimensions and it not having to pause for 5 seconds on a screen, like you're just straight in there.
This kind of has that effect too, where like when you die, you're like, psh, 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 and then you're back there,
right?
And it's cool. Like there's a sort of a different version of the intro. There's different little nightmares she's having. I'm really enjoying the way that it is structuring its story and the progression around this thing of being a roguelike, which I'm kind of similar. I'm never really into them. But this is has grabbed me in, and I do want to see more every time.
I wish there was like a timed demo of it that I could try, because I do want to try it, but I just, it's, yeah, I mean, it's expensive and there's a lot out at the moment. I feel like it might grab me, even though I am a bit put off by the roguelite thing. I wish there was just a timed half hour thing of it that you could do. But
I think the combat itself is really fun and the action in it is good enough that even if you don't generally like that structure, the structure in this at least is done well enough as an actual gameplay structure and done well enough in the story in the world that it will probably push you through not liking those normally. This will probably be one where you're like, oh, okay.
Well, and also my thought as well is, why did I buy a PS5 if I'm not going to go in on the only exclusive that there has been in months?
Like, that's why an interesting question.
Why not get this? Like, why not just get it and take advantage of that machine that I'm currently spending a lot of time on playing a PS4 game?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really cool game. I'm enjoying it. Cool. It's a fun action game.
You've been playing... No.
Yeah, dumbass.
No, I don't care to ask you yet.
How about you bite your fucking tongue?
I'm actually not interested. Now that I think of it, I can wait.
Yeah. You probably just got a little distracted because your balls are itchy. Because you've got too much hair on them.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I'm can chafing. See it in your eyes.
I'm chafing by just sitting here stationary.
That's funny you mentioned that, because this episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Manscaped. They sponsored an episode a little while back. They decided, hey, they loved us so much, and our listeners supported us so much by using the promo code that they jump on for a few eps. So, we got some Manscaped stuff to talk about.
And as those listeners can attest, they sent us some of the things and they're good.
They're fucking great.
Great products.
Yeah, yeah. This episode, I'll be talking about the performance package.
Damn.
Not related to the sponsorship, just a personal story I want to relate. That's something that I think we all got in the past couple of days.
Yeah, two Red Bulls and a
high five.
Bag of cheezels.
Yeah.
Some horny goat weed.
In the performance package is the Weed Whacker, which is an ear and nose hair trimmer.
Yes.
Which, boys, I made use of.
Me too.
Me too.
Straight up the nose.
God, jammed it up there
and
snorted. And apparently you're not meant to do that. It really hurt. No.
You guys might be able to notice on my eardrum, I've got a nice little landing strip there now thanks to the Weed Whacker 3.0.
Yeah, I shaved a little star into my nose.
Yeah, my ear is as clean as a baby's bottom. I trimmed my nose hairs with it.
Yep.
It's fucking great.
Yeah. It is. Fit it's another perfectly. Great. Yeah, another great Manscaped product. Has the nice finish on it. The kind of, what would you call it? Like matte, almost
like a brushed rubbery plastic almost, rubber. Like
but it feels really good and high quality and comes in a nice box.
I've used other brands before, but like genuinely, I've never had an electric razor thing that I've liked.
Yeah.
That much, especially the afterthoughty kind of nosy attachments for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is like purpose built and real nice.
It's waterproof, which you is want fucking
to,
sick.
That's where I keep all my water, right up
right
the nostril.
Up the nostril, yeah.
Like a camel, like a nose camel.
Same as the ball trimmer. It's like, you know, you pop it on your shower shelf, you whip it out.
Yeah.
You whip it out.
I can't wait for the day that I use this nose hair trimmer. It comes out looking like it's got fucking dandruff all over it.
Oh, God.
Because of having a big night the night
before. Oh, cocaine.
Yes.
Okay, right.
What else? It uses the...
You'd still be able to afford your cocaine because these products are reasonably priced.
They are, yeah. What else? What are some other talking points? 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. Yeah, that's fair weird enough.
That 21% of them are like, no, I love it.
They could have been neutral.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I have no opinion one way or the other.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm...
I love to hold on to it when I fuck.
Yeah. Well, maybe the others polled were like very tall people who were like, I never see my partner's nose at that angle. So yeah, I honestly wouldn't know whether they have long nose.
You could do. You can be confident enough to do the Spider-Man kiss after you've cleaned your nose out with this. They can look right down into it and be like, wow, it's just two voids and they're staring back at me.
If you get the performance package now, you can receive two free gifts. Oh, yeah. We're talking about these off air. The Manscaped boxers, which I wore. And they're comfortable. They're quite comfortable.
Yep.
And the little travel bag thing, which is sick. It's a good quality bag.
Great little travel bag.
Get ready for when travel comes back.
Yep.
So if you get the performance package, you'll also receive a replaceable blade every 3 months. And it is... Oh, yeah, fuck, of course. If you use the code FILTHY, you get 20% off and free shipping.
Nice.
Which is sick.
Great deal.
But yeah, like we said, we genuinely like these.
If you live in the
like
middle
these.
Of nowhere near that hospital that I built,
yeah.
you can get it shipped even there.
Yeah.
And now I'll build the road there, at some point. Exactly. Yeah, they got to helicopter it in. So the shipping would be fucking expensive normally.
Yeah.
So 20% off and free shipping with the code FILTHY.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brother, you're going to have to go to the hospital because of the heart attack of savings. You'll be out.
Yes.
You're
going to have a stroke. You're not going to have to go to a hospital at all if you buy Manscaped products. Manscaped.com is where you go, obviously. Some of the little copy points are a little silly. Thank you, Manscaped.
I wouldn't want to be silly.
Making our holes look sexy.
Oh.
Silly, right?
Yeah, that's pretty silly.
Applies to the nostrils and elsewhere. But yeah, Manscaped, they're supporting us for the next little while. So support the companies that support Filthy Casuals.
Exactly. You guys did such a good job of it last time these guys sponsored the show.
Yeah, yeah. That is the only reason that they're sponsoring the show is because you remembered to use the code FILTHY.
Yeah.
I genuinely do think they're good products.
They're great products too, Your balls look great because of the support that you guys gave us last time these guys sponsored the show. Yeah. So clean your fucking disgusting noses and ears up as well.
Take a fucking look at your goddamn self.
Yeah.
I go to manscaped.com and use the code FILTHY for 20% off and free shipping and a little bit of fucking dignity back.
Yeah. Another product that I endorse is a game called Loop Hero.
Mm.
So this is a game that came out in March of this year. It's an indie game. Devolver Digital is a distributor. It's one of those... I mean, I feel like they tend to lend a certain air of legitimacy to their games at this point.
Annapurna are like the prestige indie game and Devolver Digital are like the bad boy indie game.
Exactly, yeah.
That's how I kind of think of it.
And
it's like the difference between A24 and Happy Madison.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it is exactly like that.
No, it is exactly that.
But this
Loop
game...
Hero, that's the one where all the sound effects are like, busy, too busy. That's Adam Sandler.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm doing Adam Sandler.
The Sandman.
The Sandman. So this game was developed by a Russian studio called Four Quarters, who I have not heard of until now, but I will be following them with interest because this game is fucking sick.
I've heard a lot about, like, it was one of those ones where some people were, like, buzzy about it.
Yeah. It got big on Twitch, I think, because it's very fun and very smart design. So it is also a rogue-like game.
Okay.
And the
run-based.
It's a run-based game with upgrades and things that carry on across, your overall play.
Is this PC and Switch type of thing?
I'm playing it on PC.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where else it's available.
Yeah, google.com.
That's right.
Available. So what is Loop Hero, Ben?
So the story of Loop Hero is the world...
No. You've misheard me.
Okay.
I said... Very specifically.
Yeah.
No, tell me the story of Loop Hero.
The world gets destroyed by an evil lich.
Oh, no.
You play a generic hero person. Yeah. You're in like a black void. You wake up and you're like, oh, I've forgotten everything. The world has disappeared and my memories of the world have too.
Okay.
And then of a sudden...
What a dream.
a loop appears in front of you, a path, not very big, not very long. And you start going along it and things pop up and you're like, oh, now I remember meadows. Now I remember goblins.
So it's like a top-down, literally like tiles laid out in a circle, basically.
Visually it's sort of like a Commodore 64, Atari, maybe early PC game, like a Warcraft or something like that.
Yeah.
Very drab and brown and grey sort of colour scheme. where, yes, it is literally square tiles, a loop. The bottom of the screen shows cards that pop up randomly as you go around the loop. Mm. On the right, you got an inventory and the sort of items that you can put into your inventory.
Okay.
And you don't control the character.
They're just moving at a set speed.
They're moving at a set speed. There's like a day-night cycle.
Okay.
And at the end of each loop, the level goes up. So anyway, yeah, you start going around this loop and a little slime monster appears. And sort of like...
he's at where like Pall Mall would normally be on the board.
Yes,
he's in exactly. The free parking spot.
Yeah. Or maybe okay. Old Kent Road.
Okay. Oh, so he's early on.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
this
it's
is Angel Islington.
Yeah, spot on, yeah. But it's green, so it's sort of like Regent Street.
Oh, shit.
The green
Oxford.
Slime monster, yeah. And then it's like, you know, Final Fantasy 1-2-3, like you see your character do a little active time battle thing, runs out, your character attacks, the enemy attacks. You're generally much, much more powerful than these enemies at this stage. And when you beat them, you get some resources where you're like, why do I need twigs and stones and stuff? Mm. And usually when you defeat an enemy, you'll also get like a shield, or a sword, or, you know, a bit of armor. And all of those things are like have a level attached to them as well.
Okay.
And so you're like, you're constantly looping unless you right-click, you can pause it, and that's when you like put a sword into your inventory or put a shield in or like
right.
put a little ring with status effects. Or you look at the cards that also pop up as you play. And the sort of inventory stuff is very simple, is very obvious. You're just trying to equip the best stuff as you mm-hmm. go along.
Right.
But the cards are, yeah, like I said, a meadow or a rock or an enemy or like a village or a vampire castle.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know why I'm putting these cards down, but I am.
Okay.
When it comes to the ones that are bad, but the good ones are like a meadow is like 2 HP restored at the end of every day if you put the meadow down.
And so the meadow is adding itself as a square into this loop.
Yeah, and it's like these ones, like the environmental stuff, are just like adjacent to the loop that you're just like building.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, oh, more meadows attached to each other equal more HP. And you're like filling up all the empty spaces with these cards.
Right.
Some of them, yeah, like you can put down a vampire's castle and then a vampire will spawn. I guess maybe you get better items from defeating the vampire, but it's not like literally spelled out to you.
Okay. So it's all just trial and error sort of as you do these loops, you find out what these cards are useful for.
Yes. And you just keep doing these loops. Like I said, the second loop, everything levels up. The enemies are more powerful, but also the drops, you know, the items and the cards and the resources you get are all better and more and stuff.
Yeah.
And when you get back to your little start of the loop, your little camp, you can decide to like rest. And when you rest, you go to like a little village. And then the first time you go there, someone's like, hey, you're the only person that can like remember shit. And the only things, like you're the only person who can like collect resources and have them stay permanent. So you're like our savior. You know, we'll do anything that we can to support you. And in your little village, you can build like a smithy or like a farmhouse or like other things that give you beneficial status effects.
A smithy is a blacksmith that the blacksmith who made it doesn't want to put his name on.
An Alan Smithy? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
That's when a blacksmith makes a really bad horseshoe.
Yeah,
it was made by Alan Smithy. Yeah. We got there eventually.
Yeah.
Gotta do the loop a couple of times and then the joke levels up.
It did level up. So I played it for about 8-9 hours. Most of what I've experienced is like doing loops and sort of building up all your resources and knowing like, oh, I need to build like a fucking hunting grounds or whatever.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get these things while weighing the risk of if you die, you lose everything you've collected.
Right.
Each time you go around, it levels up more harder enemies, different enemies, quests pop up like... But this is all sort of passively happening. The way that I would describe it is sort of like cookie clicker meets Civilization meets like Rogue.
That sounds like it would suck your life into a hole and never let you come back out of it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really, really addictive. It's very rewarding. It's great for like if you're fucking around doing other stuff or like watching TV, you can just let it go.
Right.
Or you can just like hop on, right click and be like, all right, I'm placing these cards here. I'm adding these weapons. It's very cookie clicker-esque of like, I can buy the new thing that's going to make the next run even better.
Yeah.
Or even just seeing like a great piece of armor where you're like, that's like 600 points better than the one I've got. I'm going to be able to fucking go this next loop. And I think, so I'm in like chapter one and I don't know how you get to chapter two, what triggers that or why or what. That will be different.
But very funny for the setup of this game. I'm just reading chapter one again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you get onto chapter two?
You got to learn how to read chapter one. So good.
Yeah.
But I think it's like if you do 10 or 11 or 15 or something loops, they'll throw a boss at you. But I've got to like a maybe a mini boss or whatever and it fucking kicked my ass. And I thought I was getting really, really good at it. So yeah, seems very... Like, I guess there's the difficulty curve or the spike is pretty extreme, but that's, I guess, to make it interesting, keep it interesting for people who get really good at it. But I'm fucking loving it. It's the only thing is that visually it's very dull and drab.
Okay.
Sound effects are cool. It's very retro. It's very much aiming to be like an early PC game.
Yeah, yeah.
But it kind of looks like that, which is a shame. There was like an option to make the text like... legible text because it's like by default really pixely and I was like I literally can't read this but they are going hardcore for that aesthetic I guess
I would probably leave it on the unread that sounds like my sort of shit it is current it's available for Windows, Mac and Linux and it's described on Wikipedia as an endless RPG maybe it's infinite
well that's cool because I've only died once. It does let you save, unlike Returnal. But yeah, a bunch of times I've put in like a half an hour session, gone bang, I'm at back at camp, I'll hit save, I'll go do something else. And like you can return to it. It's only the dying and the resetting that is the rogue
like. Would you like to know the mechanic of how to move to the next chapter?
Yes.
So most of the
game... It's not a spoiler, I assume.
Most of the game takes path on the one randomly generated... On one of the randomly generated paths, with the player working to upgrade the hero's equipment and strategically placing terrain elements in an effort to survive increasingly difficult enemies.
Right.
That you have covered that.
Yes.
As the hero places landscape cards on the path, the boss meter rises and a final boss spawns at the path's exit point. If the player successfully defeats the boss, the story progresses. If the player is defeated while fighting enemies, they lose 70% of their resources and are forced to retreat to their base to start over again.
Yeah.
So you just got to put down enough land and then the boss will be like, there's too much land.
That makes that explains why you need to put down like negative cards, I guess.
Sure, right.
But also I didn't realize this because I kind of spent so much time on the same run. Like I literally would have played one run for about 4 or 5 hours, but you know, separately over different sessions that you build a deck. So each time you sort of get to new... Again, this is such a like cookie clicker thing of like once you get to a certain point, you unlock this new thing that you can use from that point on. So yeah, you can manipulate the deck to have only good things, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the way it looks. It really does look like original Warcraft kind of like...
The sound effects are fantastic. The music and the sound is probably the most bang on... thing that is part That's of the cool. retro aesthetic. It really does harken back to like remember when you had a 386 PC that had one speaker in the front and it just
I really like that so it that it doesn't look like pixels, it looks like dots.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like grainy dots.
At. It's more that there was a limited palette of colors than, than pixels because it was like the CRT monitors. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's like 20 bucks, I think, Australian.
Yeah.
For the amount of time I've played, 8 or 9 hours in 2 days, probably.
Well, yeah, it sounds great.
It's fantastic. It's a really, really good game. Glad that I played it and didn't just let it sort of slip by in the news cycle. Really, really fun. I do recommend it.
Yeah. Well, so Nier Replicant, a little repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Returnal, about doing repetitive runs, repeating your runs.
Yep.
Loop Hero,
literally in the title,
and it's harkening back to nostalgia that maybe some people don't have anymore.
Let's
talk about Pokemon Snap.
New Pokemon Snap.
I'll
have you know.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Sequel to a game from 22 years ago.
Old Pokemon Snap.
For people who don't know how this game plays or didn't play the original, you are charged with taking photos of Pokemon. You go out in the wild in a little buggy that is on rails and you basically go through this environment. You are kind of moving the camera around, looking for these little, looking for Pokemon, running around, doing interesting things, getting photos of them. You then get graded on these photos based on pose and size and framing and all that kind of stuff. You gradually unlock things that you can use to get better photos, like you can throw apples at them and mm-hmm. get a photo of them eating, or bonk mm-hmm. them on the head and get a photo of them reacting to that. You get like a little thing where you can play music to wake up ones that are asleep, or maybe if they're awake, they'll do like a little dance for you.
Sure.
And you basically, you kind of, within each course, you have like a level that you...
That, as you get more points for your photos.
Yeah, as you get more points, you level up that right. course, which then changes when you do the run. So, for example...
Sounds exactly like Loop Hero.
Yeah, it's all yeah. like predetermined Pokemon movements, basically. You can interact with them a bit, right. but they're doing the same actions. And then when you get to level two, the professor's like, hey, the Pokemon are starting to get more comfortable with you. And they start doing different little actions and they're in different yeah. places.
So there's three yeah. levels to each course. So
I think four.
Four? Right.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get to but three. I might be wrong. Getting to two is pretty easy. Getting to three is like you really have to keep going back through and like take a lot of photos and really know what you're doing. But right. so the difference being that like level one, there might be, you know, a Pokemon that's like kind of just staring at you from some bushes and you can't get it to come out. But by the final level that you unlock, it's familiar with you now. So right. it's more than happy to run out and kind of.
Yeah.
And so I know during the week, Adam, that you said you were finding it boring, and it absolutely is boring, but like that's kind of
end of
yeah.
show.
That's kind of the point of like, yeah, it right. is. It is very meditative and it's very placid. You are on rails. It's very slow, but I am really enjoying it because I've hit the point where I am really getting addicted to getting to that, unlock that next level right, and right. then see like, oh, I wonder what's changed in this course. Or like getting a new little add-on to things that you can use and be like, oh, I wonder what photos I can get now. And a lot of it is, yeah, doing these same courses again and again and again and again and experimenting. And like there's in the first one, there in the first course, in the, I think the second level of it, there's a Dodrio that's just asleep at the start, and then you unlock the thing to wake it up. And then you do that, and later on in the course, it comes kind of like rampaging through this flock of birds that are there hanging out. So it kind of, it's all about sort of experimenting with like, if I kind of fuck around and do this to this guy, then he's going to go and set off this sort of chain reaction, right. which
yeah.
I've been meaning during the week to kind of watch footage of the first one. But I think it...
Same thing.
It's the same thing, but I feel like it looks... It's that thing where this plays like how I remember the original one feeling, which of sure. course it would be way more, you know, rudimentary and archaic but
maybe.
I think it's the thing that I like most about it, which is what I remember really liking about the original one, which was such an early Pokemon game in the series as a whole.
I think it was the first one where they were in 3D.
Maybe
right. Stadium. Maybe after Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
But Stadium was just even then just basically still doing the fight sequences yeah. and only right. the fight sequences. And Snap was the first thing that kind of gave you a sense of like, this is how this world actually right. looks.
Mm. And so, here's these Pokemon being animals rather than yeah. being little RPG stat tools.
And right, it's got know? That cool thing of it feels like those theme park rides, like the It's a Small World or whatever, where yes. you know, you're in a little boat and just stuff is happening and the same stuff is happening every run. And sometimes you'll be in a run and then you realize you've caught something at the very last minute. And so then you know the next time you go around, it's like, oh, this guy's up here and he does this at the same time. So
right.
I've got to make sure that I'm looking out for him. So it's very slow, but it's a good, like, especially because it's on the Switch, it's a good bedtime game. It's a good, oh, yeah. like, sitting in bed and just doing a...
If it's not bedtime, the game will make you feel like it's bedtime.
Yeah, it's very slow, but it is... I really am enjoying the pace of it, and I really am. It took a couple of little levels to really get me in, but getting hooked on that thing of like, especially because getting enough points to get from level two to three in these courses is pretty difficult and pretty like grindy. So you really do have to get good at knowing where things are and knowing what's going to get you these good responses. The only thing that is a bit annoying about it is that the scoring system does sometimes tend to be pretty finicky yeah. in terms of like knowing exactly what it's looking for.
So a good looking photo won't get you a good score.
Right.
It's got certain traits that it wants from a photo, which is position, as close to the middle as possible.
Yep.
Size, big, pose, good. You know, like it wants a center frame Pokemon looking directly at you.
Yeah.
That will get you the best one. And there's like four different levels for every species of Pokemon of like actions, basically.
They're all different four behaviors. So there's like one star is just standard. Two might be it eating an apple. Three might be it in a fight with another one.
Right.
And four might be it, I don't know, doing fucking a backflip randomly that something has caused it to do. Doing a backflip and then coming in.
Can you imagine? Need some pretty smooth balls to do that.
Oh, yeah.
That has been the bit that I've enjoyed the most so far. Because it's a very slow start.
Yeah.
It really drags it out in a way of a Pokemon game anyway.
Yeah.
Where it's very much treating you like a fucking idiot. Mm. Being like, okay, let's go through the course again. But this time, maybe look to the left. You know, it just is really simplifying things at the start.
Yeah. But then after, I think from about the third level, it unlocks the third and fourth area at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you do reach a point where you start, you'll unlock, you know, multiple new areas at a time.
Yeah.
And you'll level up very quickly. And then you'll also receive like a new add-on thing where all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I want to go back through all these existing. I think that's why I'm liking it now, because I'm at the point where
there's all of a sudden
a lot to do as opposed to like the first... Yeah, the first, like, because there's also a night version of each area as well where, you know, a one that you can see is nocturnal and sleeping off in the distance. Then you unlock the night area and it's out frolicking around and stuff. The beginning is very, it's like...
It's slow.
Do all of this level and then we'll take you on to the next level. But now it's really starting to just, like, open up new stuff pretty quickly.
Right. And you've got, like, a little phone or whatever where people are like, I want to... photo of, oh, these apples have been burned. See if you can find who burned them. That sort of stuff.
Right.
Like, I hear there's a Pokemon that comes out of this bit sometimes, but I haven't been able to see it. Maybe give me a photo of it.
Right.
And those little challenges are fun to do.
And you can stumble across branching pathways. You've got like a little thing that scans the area for you, which will show you points of interest where it might be a path where you can choose to go left or right and kind of take you into a new area. That little scanning thing also acts as like a flash or like a say cheese kind of thing. Yeah, so if you're close enough to a Pokemon and it sees the scan thing, it might turn around and go, hey, and then you get a better photo of it.
Yeah.
It also, beyond just the like the ranking thing, which the what it seems to be looking for is quite sort of...
Because it goes from like bronze star to diamond stars as well.
Yeah.
So you're looking to get four different photos of each Pokemon, each with diamonds. Right. So you want high scoring different versions of each of these four kind of poses of each Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then you've officially got that species in the books. Right. It's okay.
But you then can also like...
Which is like an extra thing. It doesn't need you to do that stuff straight away. But like if you want to fully do everything, it's got lots of little bits and pieces where it's like there's quite a lot to do in the game.
Yeah, which was a thing that I remember the original one. People really liked it, but it was quite short and quite like... sparse, and they've really you know, they've crammed this one in with like lots of different stuff to do. And there then also is, outside of just the objectives photo stuff, you can just take your own photos and save them into an album, and then you can go back in and sort of edit them so you can sort of move the camera around a bit and really
stickers on,
tweak them and put filters and so there then just is this completely separate mode where if you just want to take the most interesting looking photos that you can, you can set out to do that as a little bonus thing and share them online and everything like that.
Right. And the online stuff is a lot more well integrated in this game than Nintendo usually has, where like everyone's photos, because they're all taken within Pokemon Snap, so they know that they're not going to have anything fucked in them.
Right.
You just get a nice feed of everyone's photos and you can put yours up there really easily. So
yeah, you've got a thing on the side of the menu screen that's like... almost like a social media-y kind of thing, where you'll get the like in-game requests of like, I want a photo of this, but then you'll also get like a little thing that just is like, hey, this random person took this photo of a, you know, Butterfree or whatever.
Yeah, it's a little repetitive towards the start, very much. But as you do get further in, there's more stuff where everyone, you're like, you've got a goal and you've got something in your head that you're like, oh, I saw this last time, so I'm going to specifically go and look for this.
Yeah,
this
I think it's around. Good. I mean, I was very skeptical about whether this game would be any good. I am one of those people that loved the original. I was just the right age for it.
I rented it from a Video Easy or something and played it that day, and that was the perfect way to do that game at the time.
Yeah, right. I've it's been one of those ones where it's like, why don't they have another crack at this? I was a bit skeptical about whether this would be any good, just because I don't know, the Pokemon games now sort of tend to be fairly hit and miss, kind of more miss for me personally.
And there's like 650 Pokemon I don't give a shit about.
Right.
You want me to care about a Grookey?
Yeah.
You fucking suck my dick. I'm going to pitch you, which means hit you.
Okay.
Yeah, pitch you.
Yeah.
I can't even
think of
that
move was not very effective. I think that I am too disengaged from every Pokemon after the first 100 to want to play this game.
So that's been the thing for me, where I'm not as interested in these Pokemon. Like, I don't give a shit if you're a Hoot Hoot.
Right.
But the actual things that they're getting these Pokemon to do, it doesn't matter that they're Pokemon. It is. Right. It's still engaged. Even if none of these things had ever been in another thing before,
if this was jungle safari photo,
I agree.
If this weird alien world, No Man's Sky photo thing,
right?
Obviously, it's going to hit a lot harder if you have played all of them all the way through,
for sure. Yeah,
but I'm not really minding that so much, because a lot of Pokemon are just like, that's a seagull, that's a beaver,
exactly.
Yeah. Like you know,
and they've leaned most heavily on those Pokemon that look the most normal in the natural world.
The first one, you look down and there's like a little river that you're passing over, and then there's these two little beaver guys kind of swimming through it, and then later
the doofs
and then later you see them, they've got a dam that they're building, just stuff like that. The feeling of like I said the little theme park ride, and the fact that this is, it really does feel like an actual like living ecosystem that you're just kind of observing on, and all the different areas and the way they've thought about, like, well, these are the nocturnal ones, so at night they're running around. And
can you go back to the ones, the rank one level? Cool. I haven't looked for that yet. The other thing that there is there's these like Lumina Pokemon who are kind of like a boss battle almost, or like one modeling shoot with this one Pokemon
who
this
walks
giant
through the,
one
just
yeah.
Jurassic Park-ish. You're going through the course with them, trying to get them in a cool pose. And that's a bit of fun as an extra little thing at the end.
And graphically, how would you rate it?
It's okay.
Yeah. I think it looks pretty good. It's very like, it's very colourful. It's very like lush and like nice looking. It's
so the animations are good.
Graphics out of 10, guys. Graphics out of 10.
Seven.
This is a review.
So probably, 7.5.
They're
not good. They're not high fidelity sort of, you know. They're very
cartoony. Pokemon Sword and Shield style visuals, or is it more just like
A little more detailed than that.
A little detailed, slightly more realism, I think, in some areas. Yeah. The very first level is like, it's cool, it's a nature park. It's basically in a zoo, and then the next one is like you're in a jungle, then you're on a beach, then you're going over a reef, then there's a desert. So it's all that kind of stuff. Mm. But like the animations are great. That's the
main thing, is the Pokemon look very characterful.
Yeah,
look
cool.
Believable. And again, it's how I remember the first one feeling, because it was the first time that you'd gotten a sense of how these creatures actually work in the real world. And it's like, oh, this is cool. This is like, they do all just kind of live in the wild, and not everyone's out there trying to catch them and make them kill each other.
Because like the first theme park ride through, they're all doing fun things on their own anyway, but then getting them to interact with each other, throwing shit at them to make them interact with you, all of that sort of stuff is enjoyable.
And realizing that you either by design or somehow accidentally got a great, you know, got a 4-star behavior photo of like just managing to catch a little, what's his, Quagsire, as he's like jumping into the water and like all those kinds of things. It's like,
giggity,
it is.
Giggity.
I was trying to remember what Quagmire said.
I was about to be like, nah, lower. And I couldn't remember Quagmire's thing.
It is really satisfying, and it's very charming. And it's like I said, it's as good of a new version of it as you could possibly hope for. I wish it would have been, I kind of wish it had have come out during the lockdown as a very like placid, serene, just nice experience this time last year when things were really going to shit. It would have been a really nice thing to sink into, but yeah.
Yeah, everyone would have been way more into sharing their photos and all of
100%,
that.
100%, yeah.
And it's, yeah, it is, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just finding that pace, which is slow, to be a little dull.
Yeah.
Because I don't, there's not the the added level that there was in 1999 for me of that.
For
like,
sure.
That's a fucking big ass Snorlax. Look at him.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe, I can't remember. I feel like the first one had a thing on the buggy where you could make it go faster. So if you, if there was just one thing in the level that you were looking for,
right,
you could kind of zoom through up to that and then zoom out. And maybe it you kinda, do unlock that in this, but yeah.
It makes sense that there isn't because the one Pokemon will go to another part later. So it'll fuck up the speed and whatever.
Yeah. But it is,
and you can just stop at a point if you want, or you can take all your photos and then it'll be like, well, you're out of photos. You get 72 photos in a run.
But it is, you really do have to be aware. It is a very, very deliberate pace that you do have to settle into, which is just...
It's either going to be relaxing or boring.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
You're just hanging out, you're looking. But it is, the whole high score chasing thing of it thing is like an extra level. Like, it seems like it's just going to be... Just observe this environment, but then there is real deep high score chasing and like not quite strategy, but like
you need to know what
to get to level 2 to 3 is difficult.
And like you've got to have a plan for what to take a photo because like you can only earn points on new stuff basically. So you either have to take a better version of a photo you've already gotten. So if you've got a 1-star Pikachu photo, you need either a better 1-star Pikachu photo or a 2-star Pikachu photo to get any points from Professor Mirror for that run.
In order to upgrade the level.
Right.
By the, like, yeah, you really need to be knowing what you need photos of, knowing where you're lacking and doing that.
But that mix of like there's a new area and I'm going in and I have no idea what I'm going to see.
Yeah.
And you just kind of like frantically kind of like looking around, trying to take everything in.
That
make
first
sure
one's almost
everything.
A wash. Like,
And then by the point where you've done one maybe 5 times and feeling like you know it like the back of the hand and going in and going like, right, this I need to get better photos of these two, and the run is all about that, is like that satisfaction between those two kind of different areas is,
The one other very small thing is that it's got like the gyro controls if you want to use that and all that stuff, but then if you turn them off, because I just don't really like them.
Me neither. I, never found them very intuitive.
You can use a D-pad to like suddenly look behind you or to your left or whatever, and you can move both sticks to look around faster. Have you done that?
Oh, no, I haven't done that.
If you're pushing with both sticks in a direction, your head will move a bit quicker.
Yeah, right.
Because the just something about like, because your cursor kind of moves around in the center and then when it gets to the edge, then it starts to push your eyes.
You can change the movement speed in the options though.
That's interesting. I haven't haven't gone into the options menu for that one.
And again, probably, I think it says a lot about the mission statement of this game. By default, they are both on the slowest setting.
Right,
right.
So I went in, the first thing I did was I went in to see if I could, because I was noticing it's like, my God, it is taking fucking forever to turn my head around.
And it's annoying when you hear a rustling behind you.
Yeah,
and you're like, fuck. But then you can, use the D-pad to snap to looking behind you or to the left or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's cool. There's a cute little printer that's out now, like a Fujifilm thing as well.
That is a cool little throwback to taking a cartridge into Blockbuster Video back in 99. And
I think, definitely this is exactly what it says it is. I'm just finding it slightly more dull than I expected it to.
Because you're not a kid anymore.
Yeah, that's all.
Right?
Yeah. I'm into grown-up games like Returnal and Krav Maga.
Yeah. that's going to do us for this week. We'll be back next week talking Resident Evil Village.
Ooh, baby.
I'm excited for that.
Me too. Yeah.
How good are video games, huh?
Yeah. I really like them.
Not Pokemon. Nah, Pokemon Snap's all right. I do actually. It's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, check all that stuff out. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to all of our socials.
Manscaped.com, code filthy for 20% off and free shipping on the stuff that we talked about.
Yep. We got the Patreon bonus episodes every week. We got the premium episodes on Bandcamp. We got the Let's Plays on YouTube where we're currently playing through It Takes Two.
Yes.
Having a lot of fun doing that. Check all of that stuff out. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
A little boring. Pokemon Snap, more like Pokemon's nap. I gave it away earlier.
Yeah.
That's
still good. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.